With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
2-2. And Farmer hits a line drive, sailing away from Mullins.
Oh! An impossible catch! Oh my goodness! Tip your cap, Cole Irvin. Tip your cap, everybody. Cedric Mullins, insane in center.
Now, that's not a Cubs or a White Sox highlight as we bring in Jesse Rogers, but it's a baseball highlight, and I put it on my Instagram last night. I happen to have the Orioles. I have to watch, you know, as we talked about here, I've got an East Coast team and a West Coast team.
Right, I understand.
I've got the Orioles and I've got the Padres because it's going to be some tough sledding for my beloved White Sox. So I had the O's Twins on, and I was doing some stuff. I was starting to make dinner and, you know, I happened to see and hear that, and I paused the TV, and I rewound it, and I took a video of it, and I put it on Instagram and Twitter, and said, you know, Yurko's, I've been to maybe one game the last 3 years, but we were at a White Sox-Baltimore game, and he turned to me, he said, Carmen, this outfield. He goes, my God.
Yeah,
he goes,
these,
what is happening?
Doubles and triples go to die out here.
He said, look at these outfielders. This is where doubles and triples go to die.
Right. Every time the White Sox hit one in the gap, they were flagging it down.
That,
I'm like, this is unbelievable.
That play by Cedric Mullins, I mean, that'll already be in the running for play of the year. And it's certainly, to this point in the early going, the play of the year in baseball. That was incredible. And I said exactly what Yurko always says, where extra base hits go to die, the Baltimore outfield.
Unbelievable.
God, I wish that was my team, Yurko.
Yeah. So young, so good.
They lost 120 games, I think, not too long ago. So maybe there's some hope for my beloved White Sox. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline and bring in Jesse Rogers. He's brought to you in part by the Nadler Financial Group, helping you reach your financial goals and dreams. Did you see that catch by Mullins last night?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a good one. I mean, that is an athletic team. That's an athletic outfield. And you're right. That might be the catch of the year, and we're only in early April.
Unbelievable. Cubs won another interesting one, man. They keep finding ways, Jess. I love me some, even though I'm not a fan of the Cubs, I love me some Nico Horner. Waddle and Sylvie get a kick out of it. The kid's a wizard with the glove. That's just heads-up baseball. That's pure heads-up baseball in the game, knowing the moment. It was great last night.
Yeah, he's one of these guys. You know, I used to talk to Jason Hayward about this in the heyday with the Cubs. He would talk about him, Rizzo, and Baez kind of playing at a different level. They're just the body language, just looking at each other, just understanding the game. And Horner is like that. He just gets it right away, and he plays all out. I mean, he had an incredible end of the game. They're scoring from second on a wild pitch. Had a great tag, you know, an old-school Javi Baez tag on a stolen base. And then he swung this pitch that was 4.23 feet above the ground. It was the second highest pitch this year hit for a hit. And then think about here's another stat about it. The second highest pitch hit to for a go-ahead hit since 2022 when Pujols hit one off of Smiley. If you remember, a really high pitch Pujols hit for a home run to put the Cardinals ahead. This is the first time since then there's been a go-ahead hit on a pitch that high. So I don't know why Horner's swinging that. He usually doesn't, but he goes to right field very well. And I think he did swing at it, because it was up in the zone and he needed a fly ball. That's another smart move, now that I think about it. He needed something up in the air because the bases were loaded. It was just a great game. He's just a smart player. He's a great player.
And
he's going to probably win the Gold Glove again. It's only early April.
I know, but he's very smooth over there. But you talk about that headiness, and I guarantee you when he was 11, you saw it. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he was the kid that you'd be like, why can't you guys all be like that? Just understanding it, head in the game, like knowing the moment. It was impressive. The Cubs, Jess, have gotten the second fewest innings out of their starters. Now, those starters are top 10 in ERA. They've delivered the sixth most WAR, and that's not just in the NL. Those are stats all across baseball. So top third, you know, top six in those categories, even though they've gotten the second fewest innings, even with Hendricks' struggles and Steele being down. I bring that up to ask, like, is that problematic that they've gotten so few innings, or does I don't know? Like, what does that mean? What should we take anything in the early going out of that stat at this point?
I don't think you should take anything early going, and I'll tell you why in a second. But I do think if it continues, then it becomes important. Milwaukee, who has a great record, I think has the third least innings out of their starters. So I think early on, you know, there could be some circumstances. For example, the Cubs had a rain-delayed start, so Imanaga only went four innings because then the rains came. So that counts. Ben Brown was making his first career start, only went like 4 2/3 just because of pitch count type of stuff. So that counts. The cold weather starts, you know, you're not necessarily going seven innings. So I think there's been a few shorter starts than normal. But and then you add on Kyle Hendricks, who hasn't been great, right? So I think there's something there, but it needs to continue to be worried about. However, because of all of that, Craig Counsell's asked a lot out of his bullpens. I mentioned this to you before, like a lot on my rant last week. A lot of up and downs, needing four or five relievers. Last night they play 11 innings. They basically used everybody that was available. Hector Neris pitched 3 days in a row. So that's the point. It's okay for now, but if the trend continues, that is definitely a problem. I don't see many teams that use the bullpen that much over the course of the season making the postseason. So that's got to even out, and I think it will.
What does it do for how they manage the last couple of games of this series then, like the point you just brought up about how many guys they had to use yesterday?
Well, the good thing is they didn't necessarily use their A relievers, and they still won the game with a great performance out of their bullpen. I think it was two or three hits total from the bullpen through the 11th inning, and Keegan Thompson, who a couple years ago just kind of washed out but has come back and is pitching really well. I mean, he had some nice chase pitches on his sweeper last night in the 10th and 11th innings. But Mark Leiter's back up today. Abner Azulay's back up today. But look, Kyle Hendricks goes short, which is a possibility considering the way he's going. They've got a problem. I'm wondering if they will make a roster move. You know, they could activate Jameson Taillon, and maybe they would piggyback him tonight with Hendricks. I'm not sure that's the plan at all. I don't know. But I agree with you. A short start by Hendricks causes a problem over the next 2 days. And there's no day off when you come back from the West Coast. They have a game Thursday against the Marlins. So, yes, this is where you need your starters like Hendricks to go deep. Big start for him tonight because Taillon's coming back. Steele's around the corner. You're not taking Ben Brown out of the rotation. You're not taking Javier Assad out of the rotation. So I also agree that, with other people that think, you got to give Hendricks some more time. But with other pitchers pitching well, you're not giving him another month if everyone's healthy. He's got to start to turn it around as soon as possible.
Regardless of what happens and how he pitches tonight, do they tell him that you're going to give us seven innings just the way it is? You're a veteran.
That's a good,
you're a guy.
Yeah.
You're a soft tosser. I need seven out of you tonight. If you give up eight, I don't care. I need seven out of you tonight to kind of reset the bullpen.
Yeah, that is a good point because they don't have that day off Thursday. I think they do have one Monday, but it's still all the way through Sunday without any break.
Yeah,
you're right. So this could be the night. But, you know, if it's not tonight, then maybe it's tomorrow because just Hendricks hasn't been going well. But he also is not a guy that if he throws 100 pitches is going to impact him because he doesn't throw 98. So I think I like where you're going. After 11 innings last night, they probably will push him, especially if he's pitching at least decently. Like, if he gets rocked, it's a different story. But you're right, you're going to try to push him for seven for sure.
Oblique injuries are tough, Jess. What can you tell us about Say and what do they think long-term here?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The most minor of oblique injuries is usually still a month.
Yeah.
Major ones are several months. And also key here is if you come back early and re-injure it, that's a huge problem as well.
Yep.
So you have to be safe. I think it's right now it's on the month side of things, not the 2 or 3 months. Like, it was pretty minor. Remember, he got it running to first. He says it wasn't on the swing. He was running to first. That feels Moncada-esque.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
And that's the thing. He is built, upper body built, like I raved about him in spring training. But sometimes, as I mentioned with Moncada and Robert, you can be too tight. And if you get injure your oblique running to first, maybe you are a little too tight, you know? So something to think about moving forward, but they think it's on the mild side. Again, not a violent swing, just running to first, so maybe it makes sense it's on the mild side. And this is where Garrett Cooper is going to get chances. Like, other guys are going to have to step up. Alexander Canario came up, and we'll see what happens. But I know Cooper's been, looking at his chops. He started out 385, didn't play over the weekend, got a late hit last night. That was key. So we'll see what Garrett Cooper can bring. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time.
Is this a repeat injury or is this a unique injury? Something brand new to Suzuki?
I believe he had an oblique on the other side last year. I think it was the other side.
Okay.
So the point is, though, he's had obliques. Yes, he's had obliques. And that you know, you wonder, are you too tight up there? That is something that is talked about often, and we know we've talked about Moncada and Robert. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a history, at least, Yerk.
A home run tonight, and Michael Bushel set an all-time franchise record. Morel, Sosa, Sandberg, and Hack Wilson have all homered at five straight. He's plus 310 to hit a home run tonight. Do we like Michael Bush to hit a home run in the sixth consecutive game?
Why not? He's basically been their offense this entire road trip. I mean, they have not scored a lot.
No.
He has been their offense. Now, not only would it be a franchise record, no rookie has ever hit a home run in six straight games.
Oh, is that ever. Right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. No rookie's ever done it. So he's on the precipice of something special here. I don't see why he couldn't. I think it's Tommy Henry right on the mound for the Diamondbacks. He's not exactly Zach Gallen, so why not? And, you know, I was talking to Jed Hoyer about Bush. I mean, it all starts with the command of the strike zone, you know? I mean, that's a little bit the difference between him and Matt Mervis. They identified this guy that was being blocked in L.A. Also, the moment they signed Ohtani is the moment the Cubs got really interested in Bush because they knew there was no chance of DHing, right. No chance at first. So identify this guy that, you know, he was, I think, player of the year in the league that he was in at AAA last year. So he wasn't unknown, but still anybody could have traded for him. 26 years old, a little bit older, but his command of the zone. You saw late in the game last night, he walked. He doesn't chase. And as he hits more home runs, they're going to walk him even more. They're going to be more careful. They're going to nibble with him. So everything is coming up roses with him right now, and he just looks like a veteran, to be honest. Now, he's an older rookie, but the way he commands that strike zone has just been just really, really impressive. So put him at plus 310. I know it's a low number when you talk about home runs,
yes,
but why not?
Yes, it is.
Why not?
So we were playing 7 or 70, and that was blown to hell quickly. We've already had multiple 70-degree days. Yurko came up with Cinco or Cinco de Mayo. So will the... Will they get to 5 by Cinco de Mayo? I'll ask you two questions. That and speaking of 7 or 7, I mean, are they going to have 7 shutouts before, you know, they get to 7 victories? They've been shut out 6 times already, Jess. It's crazy on the south
side. Yeah, this is why, like, I kind of smirk. I wasn't here yesterday. My daughter had a softball game, but they had a team meeting. I get it. They've been playing sloppy. But there's no team meeting that's going to make them more talented than they are. They're just – this is who they are. Though the controllables are really bad so far, too, meaning catch a fly ball, for God's sakes. Don't get picked off in the ninth inning. This is where authority and leadership comes into play, and it's clear Pedro doesn't have it to the extent that he needs to. But I don't know when they're going to win 5 games, but no team meeting is going to make them better. This isn't about that. The only thing you can have a team meeting about is let's at least clean it up so we look at least respectable, not like a little league team, which is what they've looked like defensively, the one area Chris Getz said they were going to be better at. So I get having a team meeting there, but you can scream to your blue in the you're red in the face. You're not going to be better than what you are. You're just not a good team, and we knew that going in. Just didn't know necessarily where the bottom would be. So I guess we're finding out right now.
Awful. All right, Jess. Anything else?
Ben Brown will stay in the rotation. 2-pitch pitcher, which is old school, just fastball and curveball right now. But he was bringing it yesterday. He will stay in the rotation. I can tell you that much. Assad's staying in the rotation, so they're not going off of like who's got options and say, like these are guys that are staying in the rotation. So the question is who's coming out. I don't think they have an answer just yet. Maybe there's a turn where they go with 6 with Kion back as long as Hendricks looks okay. But look, this is a good problem to have. If there's 6 healthy starters, there's a lot of teams that don't have 5. Already. So don't worry about Ben Brown. He's staying in the rotation. I mentioned the cap yesterday. Maybe he wouldn't, but then he goes out and pitches well. So he's staying in the rotation. That's good news.
They've got 4 wins on this trip. You talked about this trip. You know, if you can grab one more and you get to 5 on this trip, you come home ecstatic, Jess.
And they would be ecstatic. You got to understand West Coast trips in August and April, they're all goofy. And you win this many without Justin Steele.
Right.
It is a victory. So they'll be threatened, then you get the Marlins at home and then the Astros, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Jess, good stuff. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Okay, you
thanks,
got
bud.
It. See you.
There's Jesse Rogers on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline, brought to you by the Nadler Financial Group, helping you reach all your financial goals and dreams. Look at you asking two questions.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Asking.
And I get questions. A good point. Not a good question.
Look at you. It's so close.
I heard so good close. Point. All I did was turn to Black, and Black's laughing at me over
so
there.
Close.
No good.
No good.
Close, but no cigar.
Good point.
You know, if we could critique that situation for those who are unaware, we play a game on Black and Abdallah called Good Question. So if Jesse would have said good or great question to Yurko in that situation, he would have scored a point.
First tally of the year.
Yurk, that was on you, to be honest.
I didn't ask a question.
You interrupted Jesse, and yeah. Jesse was going to say good question, and you cut him off.
But I also think Yurko is making a statement, not a query, though. I think.
Not only that, but
I got to prove the caller wrong. You know, I am extra engaged in these Jesse Rogers interviews.
Obviously.
Because I want people to know I love Jesse Rogers.
Well, you don't want to fall asleep, right?
So
you
I love Jesse Rogers.
And you love baseball.
If we talk about the White Sox, it's a problem.
You're doing research on the baseball. Yurko, what's on your screen right now?
Oh, God.
Donna Vekic. She's a Croatian tennis player. I'm just checking her out.
Donna? Is she cute?
Donna Vekic.
Just Google images.
Yeah,
Donna Vekic.
She just has some images on the screen.
Donna Vekic. Oh, it's got Donna Vekic barefoot. You're
Donna
a foot guy.
Vekic.
Karin, let's see what we got for you here.
Croatian tennis player.
Donna Vekic barefoot. Ooh, Karin. You better be careful, kid. You're going to get all antsy here.
Ooh, not bad.
My heavens.
World president.
Yeah.
Donna Vekic. All right.
Yeah, good looking one, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Highest ranking ever, 19, I'll have you know. Barcelona up 1-0 over Paris Saint-Germain.
So this is leg 2?
4-2 on aggregate, yes.
Leg 2 of the Champions League quarterfinals?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
2 games today, 2 tomorrow?
2 today, 2 tomorrow. Yeah, Arsenal plays a little bit later.
They better have it on at the
Arsenal's
Olive Garden.
No, Arsenal's on, yeah. They better be on at the Olive Garden.
I don't think they have TVs at the Olive
Usually they find out who's on top of the Shkodet.
Let's give away... we already did that. Good. We cleaned that little piece of housekeeping up. That's good. Let's do a few other things before Crosstalk, Yurk, including some news about probably a new TV deal, new TV partners for the White Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks.
Oh, great.
Coming up very soon. That was more news yesterday. More ways Jerry's going to make some money. He's going to charge you to
Don't make it impossible to,
move his TV
to find.
Network.
Don't make it impossible to find. Boom. Hasta la bye-bye. Will not care.
Like marquee for you. You're like, hey, so be it.
So be it.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
All right, it's Carmen and Yurk. We'll be right back.
Working from home or back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is kind of
fat. Oh, breaking news. Hit the sounder.
What do you got? Hit the sounder. Don't get fooled.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Breaking news brought to you by?
Brought to you by Advantage Dealer Group.
Home of the
60-minute
guarantee.
Guarantee. 60-minute guarantee.
Breaking news from content director Danny Zetterman. Danny will be paying for Olive Garden.
Boo.
What do you mean, boo?
When you're here, you're family.
Boo. He came.
Of course I
can. Well, I mean, the pressure Carmen can exert upon management is unbelievable. You just saw
Next
it.
Up, boys, we're going to London.
Woo!
Woo!
What if it was one or the other? And we've got
I'll
the one,
for
and
Olive
we
Garden.
Won't get the other.
I'll pay for Olive Garden.
See?
If it's one or the other, I'm paying for Olive Garden. All right?
Okay.
If we go to London for the Bears.
You know he's going to use this against you, right?
It is.
What's he going to use against me?
Well, I paid for Olive Garden.
Use
you guys
want
to go to London.
I'll tell him if it's one or the other, I'm paying for Olive Garden.
There we go. One or the other.
Oh, I love it. All right. So the Olive Garden thing is going to happen tomorrow. I got another goofy thing going on text right now.
Oh, boy.
A group. Not a huge group, but me and a couple of buddies, a couple of my neighbors.
Leave.
No. The guy. One of my buddies sending out a message to, there's like five, he meant to send it to about five of us.
Send it to 10, 12 of
us? He put in a guy we don't know who it is.
Oh,
he got the number wrong. And so finally this guy responded like, hey,
guys, quit doing this.
He's like, you guys got the wrong Craig. He's like, yeah. It sounds like you're going to have a good time. But we're like, oh, geez.
I wish I lived in Chicago.
So then I texted these other guys on the side. And I'm like, so who's the other Craig? I thought it was just maybe... one of my buddy's friends, he goes, I have no idea.
Craig Krenzel.
He's like, how did you get, what are you doing?
Well, you know
like,
how you got multiple names sometimes? And
yeah,
you
but he doesn't have a name on this. It's just a number.
I got you. It's a number for you, but for your buddy, it shouldn't be a number.
That's what I said.
Right.
I said, so who's the other Craig? And he goes, no idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem. That is a major, major problem.
Some random guy's getting texts. He's like, who are these numbers and what are they texting about? They're going to dinner where?
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden, exactly. I texted, I remember sending a text to who I thought was Andy Mazur, but Mazur changed his cell.
Right.
Thanks for telling me, by the way. This is when Andy was out in San Diego doing Andy Mazur, longtime Chicago sports guy.
See, I got a Bill Billy.
Yeah, but you have
that. I've got to go into him, though. But I got to go into him to find out which one is Bill, which one's Billy, and which one's Billy.
But at least it's all guys you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some random number on here.
No, I got you. But again, the buddy that sent that out and created that thread knows who that Craig is. You don't because he's not in your phone. But he's got it in there as a multiple Craig, probably. Do you know what I'm saying?
He's met a Craig before, and he's put that number in his phone.
But it's
that doesn't just randomly happen.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
He doesn't. Like, what are the odds that you text a random number and it's the exact name you were trying to use? You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't. Right. I don't get how. I don't get it. I'm like.
Well, because Yurko's right.
Yeah.
He had to have met this guy at some point.
He knows. It's just a different. It's got to be.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know which Craig it is. Gotta be. By the way, I'm getting all kinds of things are happening now. I mean, I
don't know what you got going on.
If I were that Craig, I would have showed up.
Of course. Well, but you don't know who you're showing up with.
I would have been like, okay, sweet, I guess we're going.
Didn't we recently have a story about that?
There was a story going around that there was a guy who was not supposed to be, like, they just did that. They added a number wrong or something, and he was added to a bachelor party.
Yeah, right, and he went.
Yeah.
That's right, and he went to the bachelor party.
You guys all right?
I've created a little bit of a...
Yeah, what's happening?
You guys doing? We got 90 seconds left.
I'm getting
he's getting inundated with text.
Oh, this is from On High.
On High?
I just got a text from, not from Craig, but I mean from Evan Cohen. Our morning show.
Our content director.
You should probably have to pay for the meal tomorrow, Carm. Like
Is that what he says?
Evan doesn't think I should have to pay. He doesn't think you should have to pay. He agrees.
That good karma should have to pay?
He doesn't think good karma should have to pay either. I think he's a little salty with Danny, and he thinks Danny should have to pay out of his own pocket now.
Oh, okay, all right. As long as someone's paying.
As long as it's not me.
And I mean, the whole thing is absurd that any of us would have had to pay for it is absurd. And I think Evan appreciates that fact. Evan from Unsportsmanlike every morning, of course, 5 to 7 here on ESPN Radio and on ESPN radio stations across the country. I mean, Evan's texting me now.
Oh, I know. So I'm going to have some minestrone tomorrow and I'm going to enjoy it.
Now we're all getting a tour of Italy.
Dude, now we're going to go nuts.
We should taste everything on the menu.
One of our 10 cheeses Italy.
We're doing the tour of Italy and Sicily tomorrow. We're going from top of the boot all the way down, including Sicily and Sardinia. How about that?
Soccer ball getting kicked.
And Zetterman's paying for it. Hold on. I should get Big O real quick because Big O actually loves the Olive Garden, he said. Big O, what's going on?
Yes, first of all, Carm, the Olive Garden is scrumptious.
I love it.
I'm from the hood, man, so, you know, hey, man, that's the closest thing I can afford to good Italian food. You know what I'm saying?
Stop.
Now, real talk, but I want to make a comment real quick.
Go ahead.
I want to tell Yerk, man, out of your Carlos's, how did you leave off Baby Carlos from Hangover, man?
Oh, you're right.
Who? Baby Carlos?
Baby Carlos,
from Hangover. Oh, from Hangover. Good call.
Baby Carlos. Yeah. I left off Carlos Quentin.
I want to say about Caleb Williams' comp to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, go ahead.
I hope he is comp to Aaron Rodgers and he falls in the draft. So we can get a good look at his prom dress he's going
to
wear.
Fabulous, Big O. Leave it to Big O. Big O's comp is the Black Baker Mayfield. I don't want the Black Baker Mayfield. I'd rather have the Aaron Rodgers. I hope Big O's wrong on that one.
I want Aaron Rodgers.
All right, we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up next. Yurko's got the final word, brought to you by the Homewood Police Department. Your future is here.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
on Carmen and Yuriko.
I look like Murray Bannerman at third base. Balls were just flying off of me.
But that's
I,
great.
I look like Ginger Lynn. That's how many balls were flying off of me.
All right. I mean,
zoning out on that Zoom meeting. Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Jesse Rogers for joining us today. Thanks to Bleck and Abdallah. Thank you for listening and calling and participating in the show. Don't forget, tomorrow Yurko and I have Whiskey U / Rum U. We're going to be together for this month's Whiskey U, drinking some stuff from the Brown-Forman family, including Jack, and then some Diplomatico rum. We're going to be at Ember's Tap House in Lockport from 6:30 to 8:30. Very much looking forward to that tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, the acting ability on that commercial.
You like that, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Top notch.
Mallor, can I don't know if you can call that up.
Top notch.
Waddle, have you heard that?
Which one is it?
Their promo.
The acting show.
Oh, well, Yurko, what are you doing here? Who said you could come?
I'm here to add levity to the situation.
I'm here to bring rum.
Marlon Brando over here.
Diplomatico.
What's the guy? Lee Strasberg over here.
Dustin Hoffman over here. Yeah. Great. Hey, Dustin, what do you think about how we read our lines? Really? You ever listen to yourself?
When I heard this one, my windows. I never had windows. And then the company came in and said, I'll give you windows. What do you think? That's not acting, though. I have those windows.
Yeah, Sylvie does have
them.
I've
never had them.
I've seen those windows.
My windows wouldn't go up. They were painted shut. I looked at the little
Never once have I said they were
Bronco.
Painted shut.
I said, Buck and Bronco, how do we get fresh air? And they said, no.
Throw a baseball through the window.
New windows, Daddy. Yeah,
Daddy.
Come on. What are you talking about?
The outrage in Carmen's voice when he hears you step in to the Whiskey University offices.
It's sort of like when somebody puts a nice plate of shrimp.
And I don't want it.
Shrimp fettuccine in front
Here's
of
Here's the dilemma that happened. Stop it. I stepped in for Carmen last year when he was under the weather.
Yeah.
We went to where was that? Plainfield.
You were at
beautiful facility.
You're at Next, right?
You had the COVID.
I had the flu.
Yeah.
I came in as the pinch hitter.
Saved the day.
Naturally, my effervescence and personality just permeated throughout the place, right? I can't help it. I could have tried to make myself bland, unentertaining.
Oh, that's impossible.
I could have tried to do that.
You're only human, John.
Impossible. And then they says, you know what? We need to do one with you and Carmen together.
If you want to know the real story,
and that's it right there.
After the success of the one Waddle and I did together, they said we need to find a way to get all the hosts involved.
I refuse to believe that. I know Tommy's
including you at some point this year.
Do a tequila.
I think we're going to do a tequila one.
Johnny's
doing
rum, right?
Diplomatico doing rum.
My story is much better.
Not really, but yeah.
Yours might be the truth, but my story's better.
Okay, good point. Your story's better, but the truth is.
Carmen, what kind of mindset are you taking to lunch tomorrow? You got to have an open mind.
Don't eat breakfast.
I don't have an open mind.
No breakfast.
I'm having a
no breakfast.
What
do you mean? Have yourself an open mind. Like one of them nutty bars, you know? A bar,
one
you
of
know,
those nutty
that
bars.
The tree huggers eat. You know what I'm talking about?
The tree huggers.
Granola. Have yourself some granola.
Granola is what you were looking for.
Yeah, granola. Have yourself huggers. A granola bar.
Only tree huggers
that
eat
way
granola?
You're hungry for later on that day.
I don't have that open of a mind.
I know. I can tell.
You know? I had to go once. I was in college. Me and my buddy Tim went to drive. We drove to East Lansing.
You'll
to visit
eat anything
his.
At college.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't. I was pretty upset.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Were you pitching a fit? Because
I wasn't pitching a fit, but I'm like, dude, can't we find somewhere else?
I got some good Italian restaurants in Lansing.
We were in East Lansing. She went. His girlfriend, who's now his wife, went to Michigan State. We went to see her for the weekend. And hang out in East Lansing, and somehow we ended up at an Olive Garden. And
you guys
I'm like,
both went to
what'd you get?
Her?
I had soup.
How was it?
Cold? Yeah. I don't remember pasta it being fagioli? Good.
Do you I really? I mean, like, who orders soup in college? I
was Tommy, I was a little bit out of my element. I'm like, we can find
were
anything
down
better
on it?
Than this. You know? And so it was the only time I've ever been there. This is.
Do you have any of the salad and the breadsticks?
No. Yeah, I had the breadsticks.
That's why for us.
1995.
In college, we would go there because our dollar went a long way at the Olive Garden.
Yeah, but you could
unlimited
find,
salad and breadsticks. You would order something small, and then you would get the salad and the breadsticks, and you would just eat and eat and eat.
But my wife and I were talking about this last night, and I said to her,
I said to her, I said,
has she ever been? She's Italian.
Well, I said to her, can you believe Carmen's never been to the Olive Garden? And she looked at me with a stern look and goes, I've never been until you took me there.
See?
Oh. When was that? Last year?
No, no, no. Years ago.
Like, see, she knows, yeah. And she probably walked out of there being like, oh.
Well, and I said, well, did you, I mean, what did you think? She goes, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. But she said she had never been until, you know.
I'm going to close my eyes and pretend we're at Deer Path Inn or Sophia Steak or something like that. What's the place we went to in Southport Corridor, me, you, and Jesse? What was that place with the ballyhoo?
That's in the Sophia, Volpe. Yeah.
Volpe, yeah. What was it called?
Cota de Volpe.
Cota de Volpe. I'm going to pretend that's like good. I'm at Cota de Volpe, close it's my not eyes.
Cota de Volpe. No, it's not.
It's not Cota de Volpe. It's like I'm like at RPM Admiral. Italian.
More like the Admiral.
We've got a 1-1 game. I had to wait about 40 seconds, so it's not play-by-play. We got a 1-1 game in Barcelona, Pierre Saint-Germain.
Johnny, what do you anticipate ordering tomorrow?
I'm going to enjoy it.
Tour of Italy?
Oh, you're going.
Oh, they're all going.
I thought it was only Black and Abdallah.
No, Carmen's carbonara, I can enjoy. But no matter what, wherever I go, I can always find something that's going to be edible.
Right.
You know, in case like World War III broke out and the blank hit the fan, I'm going to survive. I will find something to
eat. Johnny, open up a can of Spam and be fine.
Whether they're ramps in the forest, Carmen, right?
Like you were talking
some
the other day.
Wild berries. Whatever it's going to be, I'm going to be. I'll forage squirrel. There won't be a lot of squirrels running around my neighborhood.
I'll forage
because I'll eat some squirrel, possum. Oh, I'll kill a possum and eat possum. Possum's good in the south.
How do you?
Possum's good in the south.
It's kind of. There's nothing else.
If you had to, if push came to shove, and you had to, you'd be surprised what one could go ahead and eat just to get some protein in his body. So it's not the situation we're in. I will find something that's wonderfully edible tomorrow, and I will enjoy myself.
Did you just compare a plate at the Olive Garden with possum?
Yes.
Is that what you just did?
Yes.
How do you know, when you're out in the wilderness, which berries you can eat and which one you can't?
Good question.
If I see dead animals under the berries...
Don't eat it.
Birds that are lying down.
That's quite obvious.
Flying horizontally.
But most of them probably run away.
How would you know?
I don't know. Unless...
Believe it or not, but the dandelion leaves are edible too. Do you know that?
No.
I got plenty of dandelions in my yard right now.
No,
oh boy.
I didn't know that.
You don't fertilize?
What happened?
Yeah, he goes outside, hangs his ass out the window.
That's a little bad for the environment, fertilization.
You know
that, right? It's bad for the environment.
You don't fertilize.
I've got a lake and a pond down at the end of my property.
Pond to be.
And without like a 7-foot buffer zone of wild grass to filter the poisons from the water.
See.
I'd want to be somewhat careful.
See, I don't have a pond. I'm in the other tax bracket.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Not everyone has that NFL money, Yerk.
Yeah.
A pond on your property.
By the way, that NFL money has gone a long, long time ago.
You have bass
in
that pond?
Can't you find some fertilizer or stuff that's
some
actually...
more natural stuff.
Yeah, more natural.
Manures.
Yeah.
Manure.
Manures, though.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Right.
What would
human poop do to your yards?
You wouldn't want to do that.
No?
No, I don't think
you do. I don't know if you want human poop. No. I think what you want is what the cows produce.
Yeah, I think you want something that eats clean because all they eat is grass.
Right.
Yeah. We eat too many toxins.
Yeah, the gas from the cows is not.
I don't believe the propaganda.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. I'm asking.
No. A cow is eating pretty clean.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Will you eat cow poop when the Bears win a Super Bowl?
No. Let me ask you a question.
Go on record right now.
How does a cow get to be so damn big by eating grass?
Watch the documentary, which is the one that they did about where the vegan athletes talk about it. And one of the he was like the world's strongest man. Yeah. He makes the same point. He goes, you ever see a bull? He goes, guess what the bull eats? Grass.
Yeah.
How does it get that big by eating grass?
Documentary is called Ribeyes and Fleas.
No, it's definitely not.
Where's the protein coming from, Carm?
Well, I don't know.
Believe it or not, beans are high in protein.
But they're eating grass.
I got you. Carm is asking me where protein's coming if you're not eating meat. Beans.
Oh, beans.
You can get
sure.
Beans are high in protein.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to put.
But where's the cow getting it? Where's the cow getting all of it?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
That's not what he does.
I mean, like, how can a cow eat grass?
Cow doesn't need protein, though.
But I know.
No, he's wondering about the cows.
How does a cow kind of grow into being the big old cow?
Corn feed and grass.
No. But that's what he's saying.
I'm saying
how is it so big and strong eating grass?
and corn.
They don't eat corn, not in their natural habitat.
No, well, I thought you were talking about like what you consume.
Who's maybe they're feeding them mashed potatoes.
That's why those feed houses are terrible. They feed their
hay and alfalfa. Right.
They're
and all
feeding
all
those poor cows something that they're not meant to eat. Yeah. It's not natural. Terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible.
You're gonna and listen. Who am I talking? You could say.
Oh, I thought he said something.
What did I say?
No, the you're fine.
He started the SH and then he turned.
You know, you could say, well, you guys are so, you really care for the animal. You eat meat. Actually, I do kind of care. I don't want the animal to live an awful life and then I eat it. Right. If the animal, right? You know what I mean? Like,
you don't want it to
can't two things
before
be
before you cut its head off, you want to make sure that it wasn't pinned in it. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yes. Like, seriously.
Absolutely. I say it all the time, Carm. Two things can be true.
Thank you.
We can have two conversations.
I love veal.
I'd prefer the cow or the pig or the chicken to live in its sort of a natural habitat where it is.
Keep that baby cow in a cage for me, man.
Free to roam.
I love my veal.
That's terrible, Yurko. That's a terrible thing to say.
Do you eat veal?
Not much anymore.
No, is it because, because of how it's...
I love it.
I feel... once in a while, I will.
It is tasty.
Veal
patties, so too. Have you had veal patties in the summer?
So good.
It's a little... I know. Man, that poor little baby cow.
Do they have veal at the Olive Garden?
No, I don't know. Probably.
Animals are here to feed us.
Probably something they sell as veal.
Shit.
Yurko. But it's still... The animal could live a good life, and we can still eat it.
A good life?
Well...
For
sure,
them.
For them, okay. Sure.
You know they eat horse in France.
Yes.
They do in horse.
That,
right?
They do in parts of horse.
Too, yeah.
Horse. You bet a lot of meat on a horse. Kidding me?
Well, that's right. Before
how does
they
the horse
get
so strong eating hay and grass?
I don't know, Carl. That's what I'm asking.
What is the horse eating? Is the horse eating hay?
Well, they're also jacking that thing up probably with some Buterol.
Oats. They eat some oats, too.
Oats, yeah.
Special and trophy.
Peppermints.
But it was the point of that documentary. Carrots. Like, you don't need meat to get protein and to be strong.
You just go outside and start mowing your own lawn and eating it.
And it was, I can't remember.
Bag that grass and eat it.
Do you remember the name?
Yes.
Of that one?
Nah.
That's a good goat.
That is a good goat.
Wow, I never knew you did a goat.
It's probably a sheep.
Like Jim Brewer over here.
Probably a sheep.
No, that was a good goat. You're like Jim Brewer.
Goat boy over there.
Are you talking about You Are What You Eat? The Netflix doc?
Is that the one about all the athletes?
The twins? And
that's the case. I'm a beer can.
The one about the competitive athletes around the world that are vegan and we're like spreading the word that you don't need to eat meat to get strong and to train. I can't remember what that one was called.
It was called A Lie.
No.
All these years you could have been doing the goat when the Cubs were cursed.
You
missed an opportunity.
Sylvie's pissed that he just now found out after 15 years with you. How many years has it
17.
Been? 17 years that you've
never
great
done
goat.
The goat.
That
never.
Was incredible.
That was, I don't think I can do it again.
That's value added, Tom.
You're talking about the game changers.
The game changer. That's it.
By my windows.
Windows.
Waddle, the game changers. Watch that documentary. It's kind of interesting.
Will it make me sad?
The game changer.
No, I don't think it'll make you sad. I think it's interesting.
I don't think it would.
Not gonna.
Not gonna watch it.
By the way, do you know we have AJ on?
Oh, nice.
Who did you hear that?
We played it.
The audio? Yeah. Oh, what happened?
He said he got fired from the Sox.
So it was like for criticizing Chris Getz?
For telling the truth.
When was he working for the Sox?
Did he say that he got, as an ambassador? Did he say that he got fired or that he no longer works for them?
He said, I no longer work for the Sox because I've said this stuff.
Because last year he was very critical of Chris Getz, saying, look, I like Chris Getz, but what has he done as a minor league coordinator?
I played with him. He said I played with him.
Right.
Done nothing.
So AJ's coming up here in 10 minutes.
Oh, nice. I always like hearing AJ on.
Me too. His podcast is great.
Yeah. Oh, please.
You guys take a gander at the White Sox lineup today. It's out.
All right.
Rexy's hitting first.
Naturally.
I love how Robbie Grossman is the answer at your...
Oh, he was raving about him yesterday.
There's no answers to any questions.
He's been getting on base.
You know what?
He's a grinder.
Did you see they had a team meeting before that game and then went out and promptly got shut out for the sixth time?
I saw team meeting.
You know, Loy's in the lineup today?
DHing, hitting third.
It's nice of them to play him. Day after he was activated and sat on his ass on the bench.
Run to first base, or do they just say, you know, it's just like a home run derby. If you don't hit it out, we'll just take it out.
I don't know. Be careful with them. Who cares?
Can you have like a designated runner from first base? like he hits and then somebody who's standing next to home plate can run as soon
as
the
ball's
hit.
That's what we used to do with my grandfather when we used to play wiffle ball.
That's right.
My grandfather used to take a swing and I used to run for him.
Right. That's right.
And your
grandfather probably had better speed getting to first base than Aloy.
Did you see, though, his pregame quotes from yesterday when he was asked?
Aloy. No, what did he say?
When he was asked specifically about if he'll run max effort to first base on slow grounders, his answer was,
quote, start now?
I don't know. I don't like to say that I'm not going to do it because at the end of the day, I try to hustle. I try to play hard every single day. To me, saying I'm going to take it easy, did I really want to take it easy or did I really want to keep hustling and keep pushing? But right now, I don't have a concrete answer to that question.
Training staff on top of it.
How about that? He doesn't have a concrete answer to the question, do you plan on running hard to first base?
Like
that in a nutshell.
Wouldn't the training staff have a plan with that?
You would think so.
I mean, look at this lineup. Robbie Grossman and Andrew Benintendi. Can you believe this is their highest ever free agent?
How many more years do you have? Four more years?
Two more. Wasn't it a four-year deal?
Not enough.
Was it 4 years, Sylvia? I thought it was four. Wasn't it?
Three or four.
Wasn't it 5 years, $75 million?
This is only his second year, right?
This is his second year.
Five years, 75.
Oh, so five years. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So you got three more.
Counting this year, well, this year, you played 16 games, Carm.
This year's over.
No, it's not. You're counting this year as another year.
This year's over.
Four years of Andrew Benintendi.
His point of this year being over is true.
Are you sure?
That statement is true. This year is over.
They got to play all the way till September?
16 games of. Of this year,
well, got him for another 3 years and 146 games.
Yeah, I got the Orioles on for the early window. I got the Padres in the late window.
What's your realistic win total for that?
I was watching the Orioles last night.
What's your realistic win total for that?
Well, I was texting you guys yesterday because you were talking about it. That all-time record
67
is the 62 expansion Mets.
Because of Griffith.
And they were 41-20-1. They did not make up a game at the end of the year. Why would they? They were 41-20-1. So 40 is the low watermark in 162. It was the expansion Mets in 62. They're probably going to threaten it, you guys.
You think so?
What if they trade Kopech at some point, too?
Well, they could.
And Kopech's been great. I mean, like, what if Crochet at some point, you know, has to do a DL stint? Or, you know, who the hell knows with Aloy again? Robert's going to be out a while. I'm like,
why wouldn't you trade Kopech once he's worth something?
I think they will.
So what do you guys need a closer for?
No, I agree. You're not scoring runs. I agree with you. I think we got an elite closer
for a team that's been shut out six times in 16 games. Well, because he's not having to throw 50 pitches, so he's cracking 100 every pitch. Well,
you get a lot for a good bullpen arm.
Yeah. Sure. No, I would think they absolutely will. I mean, they might challenge the all-time record for futility, you guys.
Still, but like I was saying to Meller, with all the games they have left, if they go 50 under 500 the rest of the way, which is hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
50 under the rest of the way, they'll still win 50 games.
Oh, will they?
48 and 98 would be 50 under the rest of the way.
That'd be, that's true.
48 and 98, they have two wins. That would be 50 wins.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's still really hard to win less than 50 games.
I agree with you. Now it happens.
Really, really hard.
Tigers did it recently. The A's have done it. Baltimore did it. Look how good Baltimore is now. Maybe that's the key.
Oh, but they had a plan.
Good point.
The plan wasn't starting at 35 or going to sign Tommy Pham to a deal at 35.
That'll take them over.
Carm, once you and Yerk get to Cinco or Cinco de Mayo, we had a recommendation. The next one should be 17 or 17-year cicadas. What happens first?
Oh, please.
It's not just the 17-year cicadas. It's another two of them. Yeah, there's two of them.
I heard they're coming at the end of the month.
Danny said they...
The end of April.
They pee in your face as they fly by?
Yeah.
Did you read that?
No, sure. That's some crazy porn he's been watching.
I didn't believe it either, and then I looked it up, and sure enough...
They pee on your face.
They pee underground.
Why do you get a shot
at one of my favorite announcers?
Cicadas.
We had the 17-year cicadas in Cincinnati.
Yeah, you guys got to go.
This is going to be a combo attack.
This is a story. They pee in your face.
Yeah, they do. They do some odd stuff.
They do not pee in your face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cicada's unique urination unlocks new understanding of fluid dynamics.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, and they pee through their heads.
Good Lord. All right, have fun with AJ. Tell him we said hi.
We'll talk to AJ Pruszynski. Was he fired by the White Sox? And why?
Yeah.
We'll talk to AJ coming up next. All right.